Vegas. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised. Go. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight from Son of the Beach, Tim Stack is our guest. Tim is Notch Johnson, the star of Son of the Beach, which is on FX Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock. And this is a very, very funny show, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
You are part of the big opener.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Called Penetration Island.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
1 hour. Hour-long special.
June 18th.
June 18th, everybody. And I was very honored to be asked to play a role.
Did a great job. He plays the host on this reality TV show that my unit is sent on to the island of bulimia.
it's very funny. I don't like to drop names, but Howard Stern, of course, is the executive producer of this. Right. And just a few days ago, I was hanging with Howie in New York discussing my role in this project and the booger eating contest and all the various goings-ons. And I'll tell you, it was fun. It was took a hell of a long time and didn't pay me anything. But I did it for the art.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, for like some guy named Art. His agent's named Art.
No, it's really, I'll tell you about, two observations about Tim Stack. One is, everyone loves Tim Stack, and two, everyone thinks he's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, no one ever, you know, you bring up Tim Stack's name.
No, even you.
Even I like Tim Stack.
I mean, this to me, it like trumps everything else.
Yeah. He must be non-threatening, because that's the only way I could like him.
We do the same thing, Adam. That's why we work in basic cable.
Yeah, we're non-threatening.
We're funny, and everybody likes us.
Yeah. Tim, well, not everyone likes me, but Tim, I was a fan of his when he did Nightstand.
Yes, I remember how you gushed.
Yes, and now Son of the Beach. But Tim is not only the star of the show, but writer, producer as well, right? Creator, co-creator.
The other
co-creator.
Show you did too, right?
Did that too, yeah. As Adam will tell you, it's a lot of work.
It is. You know, it was really...
he's seen many people... You know, really put their nose to the grindstone.
No, you know what? You know what's nice? How dare you? You know what is nice is I worked on the show for, God, 5, 6, 7 days. And poor Tim, as soon as he was, you know, as soon as they yelled cut, he was running over, looking at faxed in pages, signing off on stuff. Yeah. Oh, for this one.
Oh, really?
But you know what I realized, which was really nice, is Tim was looking and seeing what everyone was wearing, making sure the continuity was right, thinking, no, wait a minute, her shirt wouldn't be ripped in this scene because it didn't get ripped until the scene after this scene, and, you know, running and making corrections. And I was just sitting in my dressing room, not memorizing my lines. Can't believe you guys don't have cue cards.
Yeah, but that's what you have to do on your show.
I know. So it was so nice just to sit around and not think about anything.
I can't wait to go work for somebody else. And just show up for work and do your own thing, and you know.
It is. I'll tell you, this whole everyone wants to be their own boss kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's good some of the time, but it's a pain in the ass the rest of the time. It's nice just to show up and have people call you when they need you.
Right. And I talked to my brother-in-law who owns a business. You know, he's got a metal spring business in South Philadelphia. It's very successful. I mean, it's the same thing. The headaches he's got. You know, the workman's comp and everything.
Absolutely. I mean, those look, I don't know what the average age of a business owner is, but I'd say they die 8 to 10 years earlier than the people they employ.
Right.
At least the middle management.
I look
people.
At pictures of me. I mean, Nightstand was only 5 years ago. I look at pictures now. I kind of look like Jimmy. Remember when Jimmy Carter ended his presidency?
Right.
He looked like he left the White House when he was 80.
Right.
You know, he went in at 46 or something. Yeah. It's
amazing. I mean, wouldn't you say, Drew, as a doctor, sort of the number one negative effect you can have on yourself is like stress I mean, you see these guys when they enter the White House, and then 4 years later, it looks like they've aged 14 years.
Certainly, it looks like it ages you. Yeah.
You know, not sleeping, thinking about stuff, banging interns. You know, Kim's got the same thing.
Same problems.
All right. Well, let's help some of the folks with their problems here. John?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, I'm a frequent masturbator. You know, I like to do that. I don't think nothing's wrong with doing it. Do you?
Yeah, I'm against it on religious and moral grounds.
Oh, well, sorry about that.
I talk about doing it every night.
Well, my question is, I used Queen Helene. It had a lot of cocoa butter in it, and that usually worked for me.
What's it called?
Queen Helene, a type of lotion.
I think wasn't it Queen Helena? Whatever, they make a hair goo, kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah, the reason I like this one, because it had cocoa butter in it, not only smelled good, it felt good, too.
Is he leading to a punchline here, the cocoa butter?
I don't know. You got a joke coming?
Butter came into this.
The thing is, I ran out, and then I had to go out, and I bought some Jergens that had aloe in it, and then, like, a week later, I broke out into, like, a rash. I don't know I think it's a rash, but I don't know if it's a rash or an infection.
This is bogus.
Where is it? Hold on. Where is it?
It's just like on the, like all over my penis.
There's a rash all over your penis. A redness.
Right.
A redness.
It's like, it's not big mosquito bites, but it's like smaller than mosquito bites.
I see. That gives us a point of reference. Hey, John?
Yeah.
I don't believe you. You're full of crap with your aloe butter and all this nonsense. Please.
I can take a picture of it.
I would love to see that.
Well,
how dare you?
Are there multiple little nodules on the penis?
There's probably 10 to 20.
10 to 20.
Are you?
The swelling's going down though.
Are you sexually active?
I broke up with my girlfriend about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. All a manually
because you made her vagina smell like a pina colada.
I don't know.
How many times a day?
Yeah. What are you good for?
Average about 3.
Okay.
Healthy.
But I haven't for the past week and a half due to this, though.
You got to get a dermatologist to look at this, I'm sorry to say. I mean, it could even be herpes, the way you're describing. Is it hurt?
It doesn't hurt when I urinate or anything.
No, I know. Herpes is a skin outbreak.
Right.
And I don't know. You know, John, it's always very frustrating to talk to people about skin eruptions because people do not know how to describe them, and so I just can't even tell what you're talking about. But
all right. Well, listen, go to the dermatologist or doctor?
Dermatologist.
Or a stylist.
Dermatologist would be great. It doesn't sound like it has anything to do with the creams, though. I mean, believe me, the cocoa butter and the aloe are not going
to...
Yeah.
I wouldn't have to get a blood test or anything, would I?
Not
sound like you're afraid of a blood test.
Yeah,
just to see if it's something other than an allergic reaction.
Like, what's your fantasy that it might be?
I just hope it's not like an STD or anything.
Why don't you want a blood test, though?
I don't mind getting a blood test.
All right, relax. Just get seen. Just get seen.
All right.
Okay.
Good times.
Right.
You're not living at home, are you?
I'm just living on my own.
All right. Okay. I smell a little junior college.
Right.
Maybe in your future.
Right.
You're going to junior college?
Yes, in Lompoc.
Yeah, okay, that's enough of that.
There's also a prison in Lompoc.
Stop wasting everyone's time.
There's a prison and a junior college.
Well, you know, my plan, Tim, is that when I'm in charge, I immediately will convert all junior colleges into prisons.
That's very good.
Now, here's the interesting part. I'm not going to ship prisoners there. It's just whoever's there at the time the conversion takes place. You'll see the crime rate will drop.
You figure your odds are pretty good.
These people are sucking off the government teat as it is. They're not doing anything. There are a lot of people going there just to deal weed and hang out at the snack shack and doodle on peachy folders. They already got a fence around it. I just got to put a little barbed wire up at the top 2-3 feet there. I'll make the principal the warden. It'll be easy. A lot of people won't know it for the first couple of years.
Oh, are you kidding? Not just because they're so high, because it just still seems
the
same.
They're just high, you know. They got an 11 on their SATs. They'll walk out to the front gate, shake it a little, be locked. They'll shrug their shoulders and head back into the auditorium.
Parents are glad they're not coming home at night either.
They're all living at home.
Well, think who these
parents are. They're not going to be doctors or lawyers. This is great, yeah. I will let the Asians out, because it's not their fault. They're new to the country. They're there to study. They're there to better their lives.
They're on the fast track to the 4 year.
All the round eyes got to stay, though.
I see. Okay. All right.
Asians are too smart for junior college.
No, they go there
to get into 4 year school.
Right. And a lot of them are literally, you know, the boat literally pulled into the junior college
right.
parking lot.
Right.
I mean,
they're still wet.
Physically climbed off of the boat
right.
and into the classroom.
Right.
Yeah,
one stop to the restroom and then enrolled.
Right. And those people, they're there for like 8 months and then they're off to
right,
Stanford.
UCLA or Berkeley.
Right, right,
right.
But it's the round eyes who got to go. Danielle?
Yes?
You're 15?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I found another question too.
You called before?
No.
Okay. Seriously?
Okay,
are you sure? Wait. You've never called before?
No.
All right. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, my boyfriend's mom don't like me. Thinks me and my friends are sluts.
Sluts?
Sluts?
She doesn't like you, incidentally.
Huh?
Right.
Never mind.
Okay, my boyfriend's mom thinks we're sluts, and I don't know how to explain to her that we're not.
Not.
Where are you from? What's going on?
It says Oklahoma.
Where are you from? You from Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Born there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, your mom thinks you guys are sleuth, and
her mom
thinks sleuth, but in reality, you're newt.
Yes.
Sleuth, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So, what do you want to do? You want to try to prove it to him otherwise?
I walked up to her house last night wanting to tell her off.
Well, that's not going to really,
How do you know she thinks you're sleuth?
Because he told us.
Oh, told to your face?
Are you?
Yes.
Do you dress provocatively?
Yes. No, I don't dress provocatively. I dress in regular clothes. I don't wear shorts.
Hold on a second. You don't dress provocatively?
I don't wear shorts. I wear shirts that cover my stomach.
Okay. All
really?
Right. And do you do drugs?
No.
Are you any kind of special outfits? Like, are you goth or anything that might
freak
out?
Yeah, I'm gothic.
All right. So maybe that freaks your mom out a little bit.
Why are you gothic? Someone molest you?
Or beat you?
No, it's just the crowd that I hang out
no,
with.
No, Danielle, please. Did someone sort of hit you with their hand or anything when you were growing up?
No.
And no sexual abuse, no funny business when you were like eight, nine years old?
How about what my dad used to do was she'd make me hit me with my own hand so he could be, you know, child services didn't get in on him. He'd grab my wrist and force me to make a fist, and then I'd punch myself out.
For God's sake. Yeah. It's because he was lazy. It wasn't because he was...
Oh, is that?
Child services.
Yeah. When I heard his ring finger.
How dare you?
All right. Hey, Danielle?
Yes?
How you doing in school? Are you doing okay?
I don't go to school.
Oh, okay.
Why not?
Well, she's 15. She's outgrown.
Why not?
Because I dropped out. The school system sucks up here.
Yeah. Daniel, what's going on? What are your folks like?
Huh?
What are your parents like?
What are my parents like?
What are they like?
They don't give...
Ooh, with the S word.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry,
I
hold on, hold on.
We don't have Anderson here tonight, so we can keep talking to people.
Oh, really? I was wondering what happened to Anderson's hair. That's not Anderson. All right.
Did you? We're going to hear a tale of woe about her family. I guarantee it.
All right,
and that's where this is all coming from.
All right, but listen, Danielle.
Yes.
So what do you do now that you're dropped out of school besides correct parents?
I just hang out with the friends that aren't in school either.
How do you support yourself?
I don't. I'm getting a job.
Doing what?
Washing dishes at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you want to live your life?
No.
Yeah. Well, how are you going to get out of this?
I don't know. I'm thinking about going back to school.
That'd be good. Part of the problem was when you're 15, your parents don't give an S. It's hard to give an S about yourself. You know, if they don't give a about you.
Wow.
Yeah, I almost did that. And then it's hard to give a crap about yourself. And you're going to have to, first of all, find some source of motivation within yourself to take care of yourself properly. And secondly, form a relationship with people who do care about you.
Yeah.
Not just because they all dress with black fingernail polish, but because they actually care about Danielle.
Oh, boy. Hey, Danielle?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna give you my two-year plan. Do not get pregnant. Do not get pregnant.
Let me tell you my second question.
No.
All right.
What is it?
Okay, my mom told me if I get pregnant, I can get my own place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, because... she's going to leave the state at that point.
Yeah. Your mom sounds like a dynamite lady.
Listen, do not, Daniel, don't do it.
I'm not.
All right, birth control.
Where's your dad? Prison?
My real dad?
Your real dad.
No, he lives in Missouri.
That's worse.
What's he doing there?
Worse in prison.
He's still high. He's still.
Yes. when I'm in charge. Forget it. Take the whole state of Missouri. He's okay. Danielle, don't get pregnant. Okay, and it's easy with the goth stuff, and stop correcting everybody, and screw school, because Drew, she's going to go back to high school, she's going to get straight D's, then she'll graduate, then she'll go back to
all
dishwashing.
Right. Shouldn't she get a, go to
work? Work your way up to waitress.
Trade school?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to work your way up to waitress, right?
Yeah.
But listen, don't chew gum and look at the manager cross-eyed with that attitude.
Don't be shocked when you don't take off that goth crap that they don't want to move you to waitress.
Okay?
Okay.
And don't walk through the world angry when it's really your a-hole dad in Missouri who you should be pissed at. It's not every man. It's not every authority figure. You understand?
Yes.
Learn to kiss ass, and you'll get somewhere in life. Like Tim Stack
That's how I did. I kissed Howard Stern's ass.
That's right. And look where he is today.
That's what you've been working on lately.
Kissing Howard's ass?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
absolutely.
I didn't know he responded to that stuff. But
well, sure.
Both you guys. Wow.
Woo. Listen,
I've
told you this, Drew. I've told the listeners this. Ass kissing, like people, I tell you, I walk into my office, and people go, looking good, boss. And I go... Goddamn right, feeling good. I know, who's that kid? Give him a raise. And people...
Move him up.
You know, Jimmy says, you know, he's just saying that. He's just kissing your ass. And I go, even better. That shows me more when a guy wants to take the time to kiss ass.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better. It's like, it's the fake orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than a real orgasm. She loves you that much more. She's faking it. Think about what that means.
He doesn't think you're looking good.
He it's thinks great. I look like hell, and yet he says I'm looking good because he's kissing my ass. That says a lot. Hey, everybody, just kiss anyone above you. Any ass that's higher than your own, kiss it. Play it safe. You move right up that ladder. That whole nobody likes ass kisser, BS. You climb the corporate ladder that way. Looking good, Timmy, by the way.
No, thank you.
Oh, man.
You too, boss.
Have you lost weight?
I have.
You look sharp. Yeah. Hey, there's a caller named Tim. Tim, you're 16. What's up?
Yeah. About a couple weeks ago, me and my friends bought some weed, and we found out later it was laced with PCP.
How did you find that out?
Because when I took it, I was twitching and stuff like that.
Did you have a seizure?
No, I wasn't like having a seizure, but like I was all twitchy.
Yeah, so how did you find out later? Yeah,
how did you find
out? I confronted the guy that I got it from. He's like, yeah, it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
A friend of mine died doing that.
Really?
Well, it wasn't that. It was back in the days of, there was a drug called THC, which was like a derivative.
Yeah.
And the guy said he had two vials. And he said to this friend of mine, he said, here, take... You got to do the whole vial. You want to feel anything, do the whole vial.
Mm-mm.
But what's happened was he had mixed up the stuff that was like pure and the stuff that was not pure.
Couldn't be THC, though. Must have been something else.
Well, angel dust or whatever. THC
PCP.
Was like
angel
PCP. And this guy died.
And what, you have
three guys went to the hospital. Two came out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. How long ago was this?
This was my freshman year in college.
PCP comes back in waves every once in a while. When I was in training in medical school, the PCP was a big deal. And I was telling someone a story the other day about this one PCP patient I saw. We used to see a lot of weird stuff from PCP. And by the way, Tim's question was there any long-term effects? And there are some effects, and people, when they do a lot of PCP, can get really sort of neurologically impaired. They can't tie their shoes, and they can't put their clothes. They get really impaired. Those people, in my experience, go back pretty much to normal. Sometimes they have some persistent depressions, but I'm always amazed how normal they reconstitute.
So saying Tim's friend is going to rise from the grave any day now?
Yeah, no, Tim will be normal. Tim Stack. So
I stayed away from that. I mean, I was drugging, like, you know.
But I saw this one guy who was up on a jail ward, and he heard this screaming, and he's like animalistic. And they go, your patient's in there, go see the consult. I was on a psychiatry service. And there was this guy in three-point leather restraint, one arm free. And in these huge county metal beds, he had propelled the thing across the room just by shaking it and stuff. His food tray was, 360 degrees around him. He splattered every inch of the room with food.
Right.
And he wouldn't talk. He was screaming and yelling. He's not that big a guy. Like, looked like some guy that sort of should have been in prep school, not in jail. And I left the room. I was writing my report. And a few minutes later, we see water pouring out from under his room. He had made his way over to the sink and pulled it off the wall with the one hand free.
Jesus.
And isn't that crazy? You hear all the stories about PCP.
Yeah.
He had torn this damn thing out of the wall.
Yeah. I tell you. The PCP stories are the male equivalent to the female stories about the mother whose child is trapped under the station wagon.
Yes, the VW,
and,
right.
You know, she lifts it up with one purse strap something. That's what we get. We got to get drugged up. You don't tell that story about guys. Right. The guy's story is like, there was the guy, the bodybuilder whose kid got trapped under his station wagon. He couldn't budge a car. He sat on the curb and cried until the coroner came. But the woman, where's the dude version of that story, by the way? Right. We got to get hopped up on the PCP. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Tim Stack is here. Hey, Tim, the caller?
Yeah.
All right, so you'll be fine.
All right.
Watch out.
You're not describing PCP effects, by the way. I wonder if there was some stimulant in there, like speed or cocaine or something. That's more likely to have been what happened.
And how does that work, too, where you go to your pusher and go, hey, did you lace this stuff with PCP? And he goes, as a matter of fact.
I live in, like, the Midwest, you know, so we don't have, like, big pushers, just, like, friends, you know. I live in a college town.
Where you live?
Most of the kids, like, Champaign, Illinois.
Yeah. Champagne.
So, it's just mostly that kids settlement. Yeah. Okay. Not, like, gangsters or anything.
Okay.
And, like friends and stuff.
All right. Can't you tell when stuff is laced with PCP? It doesn't look. Is it colorless, odorless?
They're selling you the stuff. They know there's something else.
Well, that's a small community. It's a college town.
Yeah, why not?
It's very quaint.
This guy's still your friend?
His buddy, sold him the PCP. Tim?
Yeah.
All right, that's it. You've learned a very important lesson about drugs, right?
Yeah.
You buy good stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
I have another woodworking question.
Okay.
All right. I have to take it down the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the hinges?
Yeah.
They have, the things in the middle, the bars?
The pins.
The pins, yeah.
Yeah.
There's, I think it's, two pins. There's one going up and one going down.
No. There's one going down. There's just
a
camp on the bottom.
They have they have a stamp on the bottom or something.
They just got you got one on the bottom because maybe it's an exterior door.
Yeah.
And it's, the hinges.
Like security system.
The hinge knuckles are on the outside.
Yeah.
Of the house. Those are called NRP, non-removable pins. All right.
Oh,
it's so a burglar can't pop the pins and pull the door off.
All right.
Yeah, there should be a Allen set screw that's on the inside that you can only get to when the door's open. Very small,
on the inside,
1/16 Allen size set screw that's holding that pin in. That's why you can't get the pin out.
Wow.
All right.
All right, so open the door and look for it. Only on the inside of the hinges when the door is open. NRP, non-removable pin.
You're like talking an airplane down.
Yeah, well, I used to hang a lot of doors. Yeah, see, that's why you have hinges on the exterior.
That's
like
sense.
If you got French doors, you can't have someone just come out and just take a little punch, a little awl, pop the pins and pull the whole door off. You don't need the
I don't think he knows what an Allen pin is, though. That's the other thing. I think I described these guys.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Kids,
even
know
I know what that is.
You know what an Allen screw is, don't you?
Hang around you long enough.
All right, anyway. Tim Stack, everybody, is our guest tonight. Son of the Beach, looking good.
Thank you. Looking tan.
You must have gotten late. Something happened. You're looking good, buddy. Take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tim Stack is our guest tonight. He is from Son of the Beach. He is the star of Son of the Beach and one of the creators and a writer and a producer and all that good stuff. And it's on Tuesday nights on FX at 10 o'clock. And on the 18th is the big premiere, big season opener.
With Adam Carolla.
That's right.
And Bill Maher.
That's right.
That's good.
Yeah. And a bevy of beauties, Drew. A bevy.
Oh. Oof.
Yeah, lots of beautiful women running around that set. Tim Smart and looking good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Seems like that's the cable formula both you guys have deployed.
Yes.
Beautiful women in beta suits.
It kind of works.
Then magically you guys both become geniuses.
That's how we pitched the show. It's just like, you know, I was going to play a doofus, which is the only thing I can do, and surround me with beautiful women on the beach. That was the...
Well, how could you resist that pitch?
Yeah.
Dumb jokes and hot chicks.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, hey,
it's the
wait,
man
a
wait,
it's
the man show.
How dare you? To rip off, going to steal our thunder. Ellie?
Eli.
Oh, Eli, yeah, that makes sense.
We had teased a call before this, did we not?
No, I don't think we did.
All right.
Do what?
Eli?
Yes.
So what's up there, buddy?
Hey, man, is this show being pre-recorded for tomorrow night?
In parts of the country.
Okay, because I'm in Texas and the show just ended.
All right, so it's for tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to say first, I've been listening since I was 13, and so...
Are you in Austin?
No, I'm in Dallas.
We haven't been on continuously since you were 13, have we?
Yeah, I used to live in Oregon.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
I listened...
By the way.
...in Oregon until I was, I guess, like 15 or 16.
All right, got it.
Anyway, I was calling. I'm having these really weird dreams, and, like, I don't know, they've been coming pretty constantly for the last 6 or 7 days in a row, and they're, like, they're real deep and just disturbing, you know?
Describe them.
I don't really know what to make of them.
Describe them. Or can you?
I can, but each of them is so different.
Okay. Is there a feeling associated with any of them? Any sort of predominant experience that you can identify?
Yeah, there's always like a real longing and like searching kind of.
Okay. Wait a minute.
What are we talking about?
His dreams.
I know, but why?
Why are we having this conversation?
Yeah, I mean, we can't figure this out.
Well, the two questions I have to make a snap.
Okay.
All right. A, are you on a new medication?
I'm sorry, just one thing. I'll be right back, okay? One thing.
Neighbor come over? What's the deal?
What's that?
Your neighbor just show up?
Yeah, actually, they. Yeah, I've been waiting on hold for like an hour, so...
All right, relax.
Figured I'd tell him to wait.
Are you starting a new medication lately?
No, I haven't, but I'm actually about to be on... I'm not sure what, but I'm going in for depression.
All right, so this may all just be related to depression. Do you have a drug history, substance use?
Not really. I mean, I've smoked weed since I was about 13.
But no hallucinogens?
I used to.
A lot?
Not a whole lot.
All right, wait a minute. Drew, can't you run into, like, some rough waters from a nocturnally speaking? I mean, you go through, you have a tough month, sometimes a bad week.
Yeah, and people can,
You have your good ones, too.
Look, and if you're getting depressed, you're going to have funny dreams. But when people start talking about super vivid dreams, where they're, you know, they're just uncharacteristically vivid and colorful and this kind of thing, I usually think medication or drugs.
Hey, you know what I hate? I hate when I have a horrible dream. I don't know. Does your old lady wake you up, Drew, if you're having a, you know, kicking around?
No. Oh,
you're like lying there and you're going, no.
Never happens. I never do that.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
You
don't? When you're snoring.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I get kicked for that.
Oh, yeah. You snore, break wind, they wake you up.
Yeah.
But I my fiance, I'll be lying there like, I wake up, I'm like, I had a horrible, horrible, vivid nightmare. And she's like, yeah, I saw you. You were like going, no. No, I'm saying, I'm like, hey, honey, why don't you wake me up next time? Jesus Christ. I was like, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I'm there.
Right.
You see, I'm like sweat pouring down my forehead. I'm yelling, no.
Right.
No, I mean, my foxhole's been overrun by the Japs. I got a bayonet.
Foxhole you were never in.
Shoved into my sternum, you know, and you're just watching me just lie there, like shake, convulse, and yell no. You know, just sort of wake me up. You know what I think it is, Drew? I think we've trained people with this sort of BS myth that you'll give them a heart attack.
Right.
Or you'll kill them.
Right.
You know, like, no, you
wake
won't.
People up while they're asleep,
wake the guy up. He's having a horrible dream.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm not quite there yet, but if this crank anchors really takes off, I'm going to hire a male nurse just to stand at the foot of my bed. If he's any unusual movement or anything, just wake me.
Really?
He'll wake me up. Yeah, and tell me I look good. Hey, boss. Looking good.
I'd wake you up. You look good, though.
Looking good.
You were shaking. You looking good.
Looking good.
Yeah, you were yelping.
Yeah, hair looks good. It's nice. Let me dab your forehead, and he'll put you right back down again.
Sleep.
Yeah. You want those socks off, or is that all right? I can get them.
Some pudding?
Brian?
Yeah, me? Brian?
Yeah, you're 16. What's up?
I haven't slept for a while.
How long?
About since Monday, probably 4 days.
Why?
I don't know.
Are you tired?
A little. It's not really affected me like I think it should be.
All right.
No, when you say haven't slept, what do you mean?
I mean, I lay down at night to try and sleep, and then just lay there.
Yeah, it feels like you're not getting restful sleep.
Right.
But you are sort of drifting in and out.
One of the characteristic syndromes that people have when they're coming off drugs is they sit and they sleep all night and they wake up feeling as though they've been up all night.
I
understand. But the reason is they have arousal like every 5 minutes. Every 5 minutes they're kind of waking up and coming to and looking at the clock and going back to sleep. Every 5 minutes. And that gives you this feeling of zero sleep.
Yeah. Well, it kind of is. It's like it's like asking, like as you watching a movie at home and the phone ringing every 5 minutes and someone asking if you enjoyed the movie.
Right.
It's like, no, it sucked. I mean, I couldn't, it didn't feel like you watched it, even though you may have made it. Drew, I'm looking at our headshots that we're supposed to be signing. The one with the Westwood One sticker on it.
Yeah.
Hey, they misspelled my last name. Should they be doing that on publicity shots? They shouldn't do that, should they?
No, they shouldn't.
No.
Right, but you're looking good, boss. Well,
thanks, buddy. Thanks, buddy.
Good picture.
All right, so
too, Drew.
What should Brian do?
Dream.
One thing, I haven't really been laying there. I lay there until your show goes off, usually, for the last few days.
Right.
Then I just go outside.
And do what? Wander the forest, or do you just sit on a porch? You wander the forest?
I just walk around.
Are your thoughts racing?
What do you mean?
You can't slow your mind down?
Not really.
How much explanation are your thoughts racing need?
He's 15 or whatever.
All right.
16.
Hey, Brian, how about he takes a sleeping pill or something? You tried anything like that?
No, I haven't.
Why not? Well, hold on a second. Wait, a couple of Tylenol PM or something like that?
Haven't.
Yeah, Adam, not
I
everyone.
Don't have any.
Yeah, not everyone, Adam, thinks of putting something in their mouth when they're
wait,
having
sex. Wait, how dare you, Drew? The kid that says he hasn't slept for 5 days, I say, how about a couple of sleeping pills? And he's like,
No, listen.
What? How dare you?
How about, listen, what you're advocating is treating something before you know what you're treating. And my thing is, this could be thyroid. Could be mania. It could be a million different things. And he needs to get this evaluated.
All right.
Are you feeling hot all the time?
Yeah.
Is your heart racing?
No.
I mean, it could be even a thyroid condition. There could be lots of things that
are you depressed?
No.
You're happy about this state you're in?
I'm not depressed all the time, no.
All right.
Brian, you can see a doctor. You need to go right away. All right?
All right.
All right. And then maybe you'll get a sleeping pill. Maybe you'll have a night's sleep.
All right, go to the doctor. Would you, screwball?
All right.
Yeah. All right. I know the guy hasn't slept in 5 days, but first off, he has slept in 5 days. He's all over the place. But geez, you still got to rally for the radio a little bit. You know what I mean? And wouldn't you take a sleeping pill? I know it's not what you'd say. No. Nothing in the house?
16.
Wouldn't look around? 16, you haven't slept for 5 days?
Wouldn't even think of it when I was 16.
No, me neither. Wouldn't even occur.
No, you're right. I wouldn't have either. But you know what? Also, with stuff floating around, I mean, put it this way. Drew, when you were 16, they were just about 3 years away from penicillin, right?
Right, that's right. Tetracycline was on the way.
Inventing penicillin. But seriously, at 16, were we watching commercials for a lot of like sleeping aids and medications?
No medication.
And all that?
Somonex.
No medication. But, yeah, Somonex. But at 16, yeah, I guess that was out there. Wasn't even something that I ever saw around the house or ever really even thought of.
No.
I know it sounds like I'm going against what I was saying, but in this day and age, I think it's a lot more prevalent than it was when we were young.
My parents used to give me half a glass of Guinness.
Oh, really?
But we were Irish.
Did they give you some Guinness? You mean to put you to sleep?
Yeah.
Yes, son, I hear you. Hello.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Hello?
No, no phone. I'm sorry.
Let's see.
What?
Here's the sad thing. That child is 15. True. This is one of our listeners. Absolutely. He's a big fan. He loves Son of the Beach. He thinks it's lowbrow.
Yes, sir?
Who is with us?
Hey, Mary?
Yes.
How you doing, sister?
Horrible.
What's the matter, baby?
A lot of things just seem to be going upside down lately, and I'm not quite sure what the best thing is to deal with them. I was calling to see if you guys knew of any sort of, I don't know, anywhere I could go for help, basically.
Well, who's that in the background,
son?
That's
my little boy.
A boy? How old is he?
18 months.
He sounds healthy.
Wow.
Yeah, he's quite a monster. I've been trying to put him to bed since 7:30 tonight, and he just has decided that he doesn't want to go.
Well, you know, the Stacks would juice up their kids. half glass of Guinness.
I think I might have been older than 18 months.
Well,
yeah, then I think I was 19 months.
Whiskey at 18 months.
He got into the hard stuff after that.
Hey, well, listen, it sounds like you may need some, perhaps some parenting classes, that sort of thing.
I've been taking parenting classes here and there, and it's very frustrating because I even had someone come into my home and sit with me because I am such a young parent. I'm very nervous about doing things right. And she says, oh, no, honey, everything is right. You're doing everything right. Don't worry. You know, from what I can see, you've got it down. Mm-hmm. And then she leaves, and my child's head starts spinning around, and green crap starts spraying everywhere, and stuff starts levitating, you know.
Oh, okay.
So he behaves differently when other people are around?
Oh, yes. He's an angel for other people.
Do you think maybe that's a function of how you deal with him when other people are around? He feels more secure. Feels like things are more contained.
What's his name? Brandon?
Jack.
Jack. Put Jack on the horn. Let me talk to him for a second.
Hello? You want to talk? Come here. You want to say hello?
I know how to talk to the kids.
Hold on.
That's why I got the gig. Yeah. Hey, Jack.
Yeah,
this is Ace. Ace Carolla here. Syndicated radio show host. Big Timmy Stack fan, are you?
That's my demographic right there.
Son of the Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 o'clock FX, Tuesday nights.
Thank you.
Executive producer, Howard Stern. Yeah, put Jack back on the horn there. I was plugging Tim's show, but I really want to...
Straighten Jack out.
Want to get down to brass tacks with the kid.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, Jack.
Hi.
Ace again.
I need to do my mouth.
Yeah. Listen, I'll do the talking around here.
baby.
No, hold on.
He's just kissing your ass.
Hold on. Stop. Stop. I know I look good. I've lost weight, but it's 6 or 8 pounds.
Bye.
So
Say
it's
bye.
Not enough. Now, hold on now, Jack. You're old enough to know better now. Okay. You're giving your mom a hard time. Shouldn't he be working or out of the house by now?
That's what my husband keeps saying.
Well, you have a husband?
Yes.
And why isn't he helping out with this?
He is in the Navy, actually, and they are gone for about a month. Sir, I'm sorry. It's Mommy's turn.
Is that what's... Well, we'll talk to him.
No, I'll tell you what. Tell Jack to pick up the other line.
Oh, no. Actually, that phone does not work. It's a cordless, and he can't leave it alone, so we hide the battery.
Oh, I see.
He's just a monster, and it's not just him. He seems to notice when I'm upset and make things, like, 3 times worse.
Right. Yeah, but kids will escalate when their parents are out of control.
Yeah, because they start feeling out of control.
That's right. In order for him to feel secure and contained, you must provide that for him, or else he will be out of control.
Yeah.
If he starts acting like he is right now and you start getting anxious and angry, he's going to get worse.
So, Drew, you're saying when my mom would lock herself in her bedroom and yell, "Freak out!"
That
was
perfect
a good
parenting.
Day. Freak out.
Good parenting.
No wonder I'm a mess. Mary.
Yes?
Put Jack back on the horn one more time, please.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello? Can you like to say hello? Hello?
Hey, Jack.
Hi.
Ace again.
I did pick up on the job.
Timmy Stack and Doc Drew are both here coming at you.
You're going to watch Tuesday the 18th, right, Jack?
I think he said the S word.
big season premiere, Penetration Island, 1 hour long.
I gave my power.
All right. Enough fun. I got to talk to Jack.
Jack. Okay, I'm sorry. Right.
Jack?
Sorry.
Jack? Jack? Jack?
Hi.
Hi, Jack.
Hello.
I think he said hi, Dr.
Hello. Hi, yes, yes. Mommy? Right, Jack?
Thank you.
Oh. Mm.
Okay, he's done.
We're this close to breakthrough.
He keeps trying to throw the phone on the floor. He has an attention span of just like a minute or so.
Right. So, all right. Listen, a book I recommend to you is called Time Out for Toddlers.
Yes, hit him with it.
You get that book. You just get on Amazon. You buy that book right now. Time Out for Toddlers, okay?
All right.
And you got to get some support for yourself. You got to structure your day more.
That was one of my questions. Do you know of any place that I can go that gives sort of like a respite? I'm doing my best to keep my health, and that's one of my biggest problems is I'm trying to keep my house in order.
Husband's
in Thailand banging.
Mom, where's your mom? Where's your mom?
My mom?
Or his mom? Either.
They're actually in Tennessee.
Okay.
Where are you?
She's in San Diego. What about, you say your husband's in the Navy. Do they have any kind of service or anything? Anybody you can contact?
I have no idea. The only thing I know of is the daycare that's on the base, which is basically for the hospital.
Here's what I would do, Mary. I would get that time out for toddlers thing.
Yeah.
And I would also check and see what kind of services the Navy. This is not your dad's Navy, by the way.
Yeah.
This is the new Navy.
Yeah.
Welcome gays. We're going to give everyone therapy. We're going to have all this stuff for families.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get hold of these people.
There should
I bet
be
there's
family
some
services.
Kind of programs
yes.
and services.
There should be family services.
The and good news is the kid's a genius.
I know.
It's like it's a year and a half. He speaks better
French.
Than most of our callers.
Yeah.
All right.
And it communicates better, that's for sure. But then, listen, get your mom or somebody's mom out here to just give you a little spell. I agree, a day off or so here and there would be a good thing for you. Structure your day more. Get that time out for talking
about it. Yeah, but her mom's sucking out of a cider jug in Tennessee and trying to get her banjo restrung. We're going to take a break. Timmy Stack, our guest. Looking good, buddy.
Looking good.
We'll be
both
back.
Both you guys.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tim Stack, looking good, by the way, on our show tonight. Son of the Beach, FX, on Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock. Very funny show. Lots of, well, I'll tell you, whatever. If you like the Man Show, you're going to like this show. And if you like this show, you're going to like the Man Show. So I think I've covered myself there. We got the big big premiere, big season opener coming up on the 18th. It's hour long. I'm in it. It's good times. So look out for that coming up. Craig?
Yeah.
You're 16.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Drew, how are you? I like you a lot. And
thanks, Craig.
Adam, you got a great personality. You're pretty cool.
What's up, dude?
I saw Crankhangers on Sunday. That was really funny.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I like the phone sex call. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I called because, from the ages of about 6 to 13 or 14 or so, like, my parents would kind of, they wouldn't really beat on me, but they'd hit me, and just, they'd always say it wasn't abuse, because, you know, I never really had to get sent to the hospital or nothing like that, but,
just... Very, very rare do kids have to get sent to the hospital.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, and, like, my dad's really, like, he's religious, but he's still, like, he still gets pretty pissed, and, like, just little stuff will just, I mean, throw him for a loop. He'll go nuts over, like, if I say something a little smart, if I, or a teacher says I was being smart to him or something like that. And
what did he do to you?
Well, like, when I was six, well, not really six, when I was about, when I just started middle school, I was like 12. Like, I used to get all A's, like, in elementary, middle school. And I got, like, B or something. He just, you know, this is what white trash kids do. You want to be like them, you want to get B's and, you know, go in your room. And he pushed me. He wouldn't push me down the stairs, but he pushed me to the stairs and just kind of made me kind of mad.
I don't really do anymore. Undoubtedly.
Hey, you're telling white trash kids don't get B's.
Yeah.
Man, I would have killed for a B.
Yeah.
I
went to private school.
Hey, you're talking to two white trash guys
there.
Yeah.
My dad would have pushed me upstairs if I'd gotten a B.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't think a B was that bad, but.
Well, Greg, I'm going to try to understand what has gone on here. Now, did he ever pick up an object and hit you with it?
No, well, a belt.
A belt. He hit you with a belt.
Yeah. He's
all right. That pretty much everyone agrees that's abuse. Hitting with an object is abuse. And it sounds like it was physically sort of inappropriate with you. And God, now you'd probably kick his ass if you tried anything. That's why they don't do it anymore.
Yeah, well, my mom, my dad works. He got a new job when I started high school a couple years ago. And he didn't get home till around 7 or 8 at night. And my mom... She won't really hit on me, but she'll like smack me in the face a little and stuff. And I never hit my mom because, you know, I'm not supposed to hit a girl and stuff. But like I like close the door on her and push her away because I don't like to get hit and stuff. But
well, you know, I think it's reasonable to tell her that it has to stop. And if you have to hold her and confront her in a way that lets her know that you're very, very serious about this, you can't.
Yeah, she's kind of.
All right. Hey, Craig, listen, your parents are idiots.
Yeah.
No doubt about this. So let me give you your two-year plan here. You get your grades good so you can go far off to some college, all right? Not have to deal with them, and then you just stay in therapy and resent them for the rest of your life. But meanwhile, you can't channel this anger into, getting into trouble at school, getting into fights, being aggressive yourself. Get involved with school. You get the sports and stuff, the stuff that's after school, and you basically never come home.
The problem is, there's a couple problems here. One is that there's no way you can't have aggression after something like this. And it affects the wiring in your brain in terms of your ability to contain affect and be empathic, you know, and understand other people's feelings. You have to really work on this stuff and understand where it's coming from. No doubt your parents were dealt with this way in their childhood. Do not perpetuate this cycle of abuse.
All right. Let's real fast here. Rebecca?
Roberta.
Roberta.
Yes.
You're 36. You're a lesbian, but you enjoy watching all male porno.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
I was listening to a show you had like a week and a half ago or so,
mm-hmm.
and you were saying how normally straight people don't like watching any kind of all male porno, but I actually really enjoy it as a lesbian. And my girlfriend,
he was talking about straight men.
Straight men are repulsed. They're physically repulsed by gay porno.
All right.
Yes. I don't know why, but it's the way God planned it.
Let's keep this conversation going after the break, all right?
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Shouldn't we just ramp it up with her?
I'm curious what's going on with Roberta.
All right. You're into the ladies full-time?
Yes, I'm a hardcore, well, not hardcore lesbian, but I've been lesbian now for quite a long time.
Yeah. Do you blame the name Roberta for that? I would. I blame my parents. I mean, if your parents try to throw it back in you, it's go, hey, you named me Roberta. You had to see it coming. I mean, that's king of the lesbians, that Roberta.
Yeah.
Yeah, king they're a queen. Lesbian. Queen of the kings of the lesbians. Now, Roberta is a real lesbian name, Drew.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's really, it's like Robert. You're asking for trouble, that's all.
Bobby.
Yeah, yeah. Although, but see, Bobby could be hot, too, though.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're right.
Depends how they look. Yeah.
Tim, you're right.
If she's hot and her name's Bobby, then she's hot. Yeah.
True. Where's that pad? These pearls.
Write that down.
All right. Just remember it. All right.
If she's hot, she's hot. Got it.
All right. Okay. Tim Stack here, everybody. Son of the Beach. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Roberta after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Tim Stack, our guest tonight. Notch Johnson from Son of the Beach on Tuesday night.
Very handsome
FX.
Man.
Yep, fills out those trunks like
very
no
handsome,
other.
Handsome, well-built man.
Fills out the trunks, huh?
Big season opener.
Mark Wahlberg?
Coming up, Drew.
We got everybody in it.
Yeah, the big season over.
Jason Alexander.
1 hour.
June 18th. 10
and all these reality TV stars like Richard Hatch and Susan Hawks and Jervis.
Yeah. Jervis is enjoying himself. I spoke to him for quite some time in front of somebody's trailer.
Huh.
Good craft service, by the way, over there. Over
pretty good food there.
Good chow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy to just eat. Just eat your way right through the day.
Right.
It's nothing. You know what? You know what's great about the TV business is they serve a huge, beautiful, hot lunch. I mean, the kind of thing you'd be hard pressed to find at a restaurant, really, at noon. And then 45 minutes later, here comes some chick with a cart full of quesadillas. You're barely walking because of what you ate for lunch. And it's quesadilla time, and if you go like a minute past 6 o'clock, someone's got to send out for pizzas. It's just crazy food. It's a weird thing. I don't know psychologically how it works. I think people tend to be more tolerant or something. They don't get antsy. They don't want to go home. I know there's a bunch of meal penalties and stuff, and there's stuff to do with the union.
A lot of it's not keeping the crew
it's a union thing. It's a union thing.
But
some throwback from the history of movies, probably.
There's a lot of sugar on movie sets.
There's huge breakfasts, huge, beautiful lunches.
Listen, I know.
And then, you don't know, because a lot better than what we used to have.
No, man, Mars Venus had all kinds. I mean, this buffet out every morning.
And then there's always just a huge snack table. I mean, the table that is out, and I know from working construction for years, the table, just a sort of bare-bones snack table, which has the coffee and the sodas and a couple of juices and just, you know, stuff like mini Snickers bars and granola bars and corn nuts and Doritos. That kind of stuff for 99% of the country would be just, they take a pay cut for that table.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I mean, when I was working construction, if you just put that table out at every job,
you'd
it'd be like,
free.
Holy Christ.
You'd work for free.
Yeah, no, Fridays would be free.
Yeah.
Because you're eating 30 raisins. Bucks worth of granola bars and raisins during the course of the week.
Right.
I mean, we'd have Christmas parties, and if the boss had bought a 12-pack. You better hurry. You better hurry to the parking lot because they're going to be gone. You know, they're right there in the tailgate of the guy's truck. I mean, just free food is amazingly tempting to, yeah. to the common man. And on the set, it's flowing. It's all over the place.
Crazy.
And then you do a big movie. Like, I've done a few big movies. I was in Castaway and...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Huge. I mean, suddenly you go from, you know, television to these big features. It's lobster and steak, and I mean really, like, four-star stuff.
Really?
And you want to know the thing that, the thing I always find ironic is, there's two things that'll be basically the death of you in this business. Getting fat yeah. and getting strung out, getting... becoming an alcoholic or drunk. Every present is booze, and there's food as far as the eye can see. So it's a very mixed message.
Yeah.
It's always a bottle of scotch or a bottle of champagne for the premiere, the opening right. or whatever, and then food everywhere.
And cake.
Cake everywhere. And then they have like Sunday, they have Sunday wagons and
yeah,
stuff. It's like comedy. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like a kid's birthday.
All the time.
Every day. It's a kid's birthday. And how is it that you don't just get used to having a Sunday every day at 1 o'clock? I don't know. You have to be... It ends up being torture because then you go, no, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Keep walking.
Yeah.
Be strong. It's worse than it not being there. Roberta?
Yes, sir?
All right. So, 36. Now I'm hungry.
Oh, I'm dying right now.
From the food or talking to Roberta?
Talking
to
food.
Whenever I talk to a lesbian, I get hungry.
What is it about these male sex videos that you...
The majority of it is the intercourse and penetration, I guess you can say.
Yeah, but what does that do for you? What is it that you find appealing?
It really turns me on.
Do you want to be with a male?
No, I haven't been with a guy in 20 years.
I understand it's been a while. Do you have any interest in that?
No, not at all. Men are great to change oil and, you know, fix my tire when it's flat.
Well, clearly here, though,
changing
is
oil.
That a euphemism
yeah,
for something?
Yeah, change oil, I think, go down on her
yeah.
and fix the tires. A foot massage?
No.
Clearly, though, they have some appeal for you, right? Sexually?
Not in a sexual manner at all.
Well, you can't say that.
You can. Do you masturbate to this male pornography?
I have, but
right,
since I've been with my girlfriend for almost a year now, she likes straight videos. She'll watch the all-male with me now and then, but...
We have some kind of interesting questions for you. I had heard some lesbian friends of mine have said that after about 6 months in a lesbian couple relationship, sex kind of really dwindles off a lot, if not entirely.
I was with somebody for 3.5 years, and the last year of our relationship, we didn't have any sex but once.
Isn't that interesting?
Two chicks.
That's because the relationship was ended.
But even when the relationship isn't bad, I hear that that's just part of sort of what happens.
Yeah, you just get into routine. I mean, my girlfriend and I are not super sexually active anymore because we've been taking Paxil, but aside from that, we're still sexually attracted to each other.
Yeah, but I mean, look at it this way. You get two lesbians that pair off. They're women,
yeah.
So eventually they slide into what any heterosexual relationship slides into, which is no sex. And then you have two men, and they're doing, you know, coke and anal poppers and nailing the crap out of each other. And, you know, they got the nipple clamps and everything, and this is going on the 25th year. You know, I mean, this is guys. This is two guys running the show sexually. Could you imagine?
Oh, man.
What a disaster. I mean, if you think about it, it's only the chick that keeps the reins pulled in on things.
Control, right.
Now it's two dudes? Are you kidding?
So do you think it's strange that a lesbian actually
likes
that?
Yes, we do.
Because I was listening to your show probably about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and you were saying how, you know, and I mean, I totally understand because I've actually mentioned this to my male coworkers, and they're like, that is just putrid, you know?
Yeah,
and
they can't.
Like,
straight men, they recoil. For some reason. We can't actually figure out why, frankly. You know what I mean? Why should it physically react to it? I mean, it's one thing not to like it, you know what I mean? Not to want it, not to want it, but to, like, oh, my God.
You know, and people, this is not homophobia. This is nature. I mean, when straight guys see another man's greased-up penis stuffed into another man's rectum...
I'm wincing right now.
Tim, still looking good, though.
Yeah,
even
but
with
I'm
the
wincing.
Wins. It's a new
it's
look.
It's believable. Huh? Believable.
Yeah, but why is it? And then why do gay guys... Like, I have a nephew who's gay, and I'll say, you know, like, the thought of two guys... I can't breathe.
You can't do it. Yeah, you can't do it.
And he's, you know, like, that's wrong, Tim. No, like, what's wrong with what I do?
Right. It
but
seems,
nothing wrong with it.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, no, no, wait a second.
In a capital W sense, it's just you can't be with it if you're when you're straight. You know what I mean?
I'm completely repulsed.
But you're not saying it's wrong. He shouldn't do it. You're just saying I'm repulsed.
Yeah, but somehow there's what he's saying is my repulsion
makes him feel bad.
Why don't you accept this?
Yeah,
why don't you?
Right.
Why? You know what's wrong with it? What's?
And he makes a valid. They make a valid point. The gays do. Do you know what I mean? I mean they're right when they say, you know, how dare you be repulsed by this? This is sort of discrimination. I mean, what if you said this about any ethnic group or any religion? You know, of course, it would be a huge slap in the face. It wouldn't be tolerated. But I'm just telling, listen, attention all gays. This is something that we cannot control. It doesn't mean we think you're bad, and it doesn't mean we want you to stop. The visual depiction of gay sex is physically repulsive to straight guys.
It's hard for them to, like, watch.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
They physically can't.
Yeah, and you're right.
Put your hand in front of your face.
Not to sound, you know, contrite. I have so many gay friends, I just can't think about
right.
that.
No, and this is why, by the way.
But there's a quality that, though. Think about this now. Let's try to figure, we're trying to figure this out. Sometimes you think about, like, certain heterosexual couples, you get a similar reaction.
Well, like fat people.
Or whatever.
Hairy people.
Or older.
Samoans.
Or, you know, whatever. You just sort of go, I can't quite go there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's certain sort of.
Yeah, we do have that sexually.
And men have
like,
that.
Yeah, like, it's like when your mom's friends starts talking about how it gets better with age and you're looking at her huge ass and those stretch pants and the boobs slopping over the bra. You know, Jesus Christ. She's smoking one of those brown cigarettes, you know.
You better stop it. I'm getting a little tingly right now.
And you just, Jesus Christ.
But you know,
God, no.
Males also like.
Your mom's got some weird friends.
Yeah. Yeah,
freak out. Was it,
No, but I understand. Like, but you don't want to think about your sister. You don't want to think about your mom.
So there's something about men already that we do that. You know what I mean? It's not just in regard to the gay sex.
Right. This is true. When you tell a woman, you know, when a woman finds out that an elderly couple is still getting it on and she's still hot for him and he's still hot for her, they're like,
I think it's cute.
Oh, that's cute. That's quaint. And guys are like, oh, please, Jesus Christ.
And maybe you know what? Maybe it is because, I'm just thinking this through, maybe it's because we are so visual with our sexual feelings that if the visual piece is not sort of an idealized experience for us the way we need it to be, we just, oh, my God, we're in another realm. We're just completely out.
Right.
I think that's what that is.
Exactly. So the women are like, look, they're in love, so it's great.
And
it's
listen, women already have to deal with men. So the visual experience for them is already trashed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what, though? What I kind of resent, though, is then a gay guy is repulsed by a woman's vagina.
Are they?
Oh, it's like, it's...
They smell an episode.
A little too convincing there.
Yeah.
Scared me a little bit.
You do seem to have that down.
Yeah. Oh! My Charles Nelson Ryan.
Yeah, but some do that. Some do that.
Yeah,
and some will describe actually being fearful.
That's the vibe.
You're going to get fearful back in.
Yeah. I was at a bachelor party once there were two gay guys there at the bachelor party. This guy was getting married.
Right.
Who his best friends were gay. And this guy got a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
And the gay guys were, freaked out watching this.
Oh, really?
Oh. Throw up. One of the guys threw up.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
But there's that thing again, the guys
He just blew wine cooler all over the room.
I think it was a mimosa.
I know what the gays vomit.
Quiche and mimosa.
A little semen.
Oh.
You know, it goes down the wrong pipe every once in a while.
That was a pinch.
Wow. I'll tell you, to me, I don't know if you can, I don't know if there's, write this down, Drew. Bachelor party insurance. Because I would want to sue somebody. If it was me throwing the bachelor party and what some gay guy blew chunks while the stripper was doing Around the World with the whipped cream, I would want, someone would be liable. I'd want to be compensated. That's all I'm saying.
But isn't that about the male, though? That when the male is like not with something visually, sexually,
Right.
They are out. They're repulsed.
Right.
And so what is it about heterosexuals that, you know...
All right, I'm done trying to
it is interesting, though,
unravel this mystery.
Nobody writes about this stuff, really.
Yeah, what name is that? Devere?
Devere. Yeah.
What's up, Devere?
Yeah, I've heard you making fun of Middle Easterners when you go to order the food, and yeah, that's really funny.
Well, thank you. You know, they're such a delightful breed.
Oh, I know. I've spent plenty of time out there, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Tim, if people are curious what we're talking about, is I enjoy Middle Eastern food, but it's like you have to brave the barrage of insults that you get when you go into the place. Meaning, I mean, it's like there's no request. I mean, you can't go in there and go, yeah, give me, make it all white meat on it. No! You know, give me some extra tahini on the floor. No, I cannot! This all started, by the way, with my request over at the Zanku Chicken to get myself half the shawarma and chicken and the other half in beef. And they're the same price. And the two spits are right next to each other, like 2 feet away. I'm like, yeah, give me one swipe of the electric knife on the chicken and one swipe on the beef. No! Cannot! And I'm like, now listen, I don't want a double amount. I want the same amount. I just want to, you know, give me a suicide. Give me 50. No! No! And the other one was when I tried, I didn't have any cash. I ordered a falafel sandwich for like $4. I didn't have any cash. And I'm like, oh, I don't have cash. What's the minimum with the credit card? It was $10. I said, all right, just give me the falafel. I'll give you $10 for the... No! I said, oh, listen, you
I'll pay $10.
You misunderstand. I'm it's going like, to pay $10 for the $4. No! And I swear to God, the chick next to me goes, get the baklava. Pat it with the baklava. You get $6 worth of baklava, and you're in the clear. And I'm like, no, I don't want $6 worth of baklava. Just give me the goddamn sandwich for $10. No! Cannot!
But he wanted to give me some yogurt drink, though, right?
Oh, yeah. This is very, very refreshing. This is, every bad culture has their own crappy drink that they claim is good.
Right.
This is this goat milk we leave in the sun, lemon, garlic, and sea salt. Very refreshing. Very refreshing. You don't have any Mr. Pibb? No! Cannot! No! This is a yogurt base. Very refreshing.
No, not possible.
Not possible. Refreshing, like I don't want any more, or it's very quenchy, very quenchy. It's salty, salty. You like salt? Yeah, not my drink. It's a lemony. It's a tart. That's just good. Yeah. The Mexicans with their rice-based soft drinks. Come on, everyone. Just drink the Coke.
Right.
Okay. All right. So, Devere, what should I say to these people when they give me a hard time?
All right. Let's see, if you're going to an Israeli place,
mm-hmm.
and you want to insult them in their own language.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way to say, go F yourself.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you can say
that on the air.
I'm sure you said we have a lot of Israeli listeners.
Even if I say it in Hebrew?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't think we can do that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm looking for a sign, you know?
I'm trying to help you out, so.
What sort of F you with my fingers, you know? I mean, is it, they got anything good over there?
It's a middle finger.
That's the middle over there?
Middle finger, yeah.
Because, like, in England, you do the P sign, you do the V, you do the backwards P sign. I mean, you hold it and you go up with the V, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the FU over there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so
So that's what Churchill was doing all during World War II?
Yes.
I'm not allowed to say it in a foreign language over the radio?
No, but you do agree with me. That's it's a delightful breed over there, right?
Oh, yeah, because I came from there, and I've also just spent a lot of time there, like as a volunteer on kibbutz a few times, and just traveling around.
Yeah, but you're in a real hurry to get back, huh?
Huh?
Bet you're in a real hurry to get back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're calling from Denver?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Boulder and the Gaza Strip, same place.
Very similar.
Yeah, very good. You're like, no, no! These guys, they must wake up in the middle of the night just yelling, no. That's how they snore. They go, no, 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 no. No, no, cannot. No, 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 no. No, no, cannot have. Cannot, no, no, cannot have.
Impossible.
No, impossible. No. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is why.
But that's like generational, I imagine. It's kind of like that kid, the guy you were talking to whose parents were hitting him.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I'm sure they were all told, no.
Yeah, of course. No. Listen, of course. This is why. I always say about the whole Middle East thing, it's like everyone gets into the details, you know, oh, well, we got to give these people back their land, and what if we take the Israelis and we get them, we could take them out of Palestine and we get the Palestinians. Look, these people love to go at it. This is a breed that likes to fight. They like to say no. They like to go at it. I'm sorry, but that's just the truth. And when you take that breed of person who likes to go at it and you put them in a confined space, they will go at it until the end of time. Mark my words. It will never, ever get settled, whatever's going on in the Middle East, because these people like to go at it. That's what they enjoy doing. It's in their blood to go at it. But consequently, there's certain groups that never seem to go at it, and they will never go at it. There's like breeds of dogs. I don't know why people can't fathom that. There's dogs, yes, and then there's breeds within the dogs. There's humans, and there's breeds within the humans. Right. Some, there's Chihuahuas, and there's Labradors. Labradors lay around. Chihuahuas go at it. And that's what that part of the country is, and that's what it will always be. So all the aid and all the negotiations, hey, magically, how come it never, ever, ever works? And why don't we just realize that and just say, screw it. You people want to fight, just fight. Just go kill yourselves. Because that's all it's ever going to be. And as I say, go order a little Middle Eastern food. You see the kind of hospitality I'm talking about. And now imagine an entire nation like full that. Of that. And then you mix in a little 110 degree weather, a drought, and a nice dust bowl, and a kooky religion that makes everything okay. Lots of munitions from the United States and the former Soviet Union, and you got yourself a recipe there. All right, I'm sure we'll have it all cleared up in just a few weeks. We'll send Powell over there, get everything straightened up. Tim Stack here, looking good, by the way.
Thank you.
Looking very good. Son of the Beach. We'll take a little break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tim Stack is our guest tonight, Son of the Beach, Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, FX.
You're good at plugging, man.
Well, you're a good guy. You're looking good.
Thank you.
Lost weight, must have gotten laid, got tan, looked younger.
Finally hooked up with the missus.
And I enjoy the show, and I was happy to be part of it, and so I'm going to give you some plugs.
Thank you.
Bruce?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I got a question for Drew. I was wondering what the, physiological aspects or the effects of cocaine use.
How much?
3 to 4 times a week.
Snorting it?
18.
Hmm?
Snorting 18. It. He asked snorting it, not how old.
Oh, snorting it, yeah.
3 to 4 times a week. Well, if you're an addict, it will inevitably escalate. And that's really the bigger problem, is if you become addicted to it, it becomes a preoccupation. There'll be major consequences.
How much is coke these days, Bruce?
It's about $20 for a quarter gram.
In terms of what will happen if... Wow.
So 80 a gram?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get back into that.
If you keep doing it, particularly if you smoke it...
It's 100.
You can get depressions, you can get brain injuries, you can get heart attacks, kidney diseases. There's various things that can happen to you medically.
So how much did he say he did? I don't care about how many times, but about how much coke do you do a week?
Probably 3 grams.
Ooh.
It's a fair amount.
3 grams.
And you see if you can stop doing it for a while and see what happens.
Three grams.
I suspect you'll be craving it and want to keep using it.
It's a year and a half. I just want to know,
pretty close,
what's going
to
happen later
in
life,
right?
Or whatever. It's going to affect me.
Well, wait a second. Bro.
Why do you do it?
It's fun. I don't know. My parents have a lot of money, so it's pretty much free. So.
Well, how do you get... Well, wait a second. You're doing, close to 300 bucks worth of coke a week?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Where do you get that money?
My parents have a lot of money, and I don't know.
Drew's parents have money. They didn't give him squat. Still angry in therapy. Now he's spending his own money on a therapist. Cries himself to sleep.
I mean, it doesn't affect me at all. Like, with my life, I get, B's in school, and I hold the management job.
Wait a minute. I'm still curious on how it is you get the hundreds, how is it you get the over a grand a month from your parents?
I have a savings account. They put it in there.
They just put a couple thousand a month in your savings account?
Well my parents got divorced, 10 years ago, and I got, quite a bit of money from that.
millions of dollars?
For my dad or whatever.
Hold on, you were 8 years old and you got, how much did you get?
I got, like, 50 grand.
You got 50 grand when your parents got divorced?
Yeah, from, like, child support and whatnot. I don't know, it was messed up.
Whatever, but that 50 grand's not going to last that long if you keep...
Yeah, I know that.
Escalated this way.
Yeah. This is, by the way, everyone, this is why you don't give your kid 50 grand.
Yeah.
and if he says to us that he's, and I appreciate your candor, although I'm about to call you a liar. Mm-hmm. If he says he's doing 3 grams a week, it's closer to 4.
Yeah.
Maybe 5. And that's a fair amount of coke.
That's a lot of cocaine. You'll start to get paranoid and start to be thinking about police and uniformed officers coming at you.
Well, I've been doing it for like a year and a half, almost 2 years now, and I just, what's happening, physically to my body?
Well, here's the deal, Bruce. This is a bad dead-end street that you're on. You're not doing a line or two on the weekends. You're doing a fair amount of coke. I would venture to say a lot of coke,
right,
especially for an 18-year-old, week in and week out. And I'd say he's addicted.
The probability is it will become a major preoccupation and start to affect other areas of your life. Maybe not immediately, but eventually.
Wouldn't you say he's addicted?
Yeah, but he's not having severe consequences yet. He's just sort of maintaining himself, and he would not be able to stop, I suspect.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I can't do coke. It's too weird. I think
When I moved to L.A., the only person I knew was a coke dealer.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only person I knew. I attended a bar out in Long Island. So I kind of used to buy it just to, I never even did it.
Right.
Just to have somebody to talk to, because I didn't know anybody when I moved to L.A.
Yeah.
So I'd take it and I would give away to parties. And then the few times I did, it was to get girls.
Right. Sure.
You know, that was a way to get girls. And I noticed that part of me was starting to think I was cooler when I did it. And at that point, I stopped because I knew, because there was a lot of drinking in my family, and I knew, you shouldn't go down this road, Tim.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if this, that's why I asked him how he feels. It's you just don't need, it's easy for me to say now, I'm 47, but you just don't need that stuff to make you feel good. It's really...
Well, my feeling is here's the problem. Let's suppose you start doing it and you just start to really like it. Then what?
Oof.
You know what I mean? That's the problem. If you don't like it, you don't need to do it.
But really, what they don't perceive is if you're just doing something you really like? That's their perception. So what? I really like it. I'm doing it. Big deal. Nothing's happening. Why would I not do something I really like? They don't appreciate, they don't have the perspective on the fact that they're... will escalate always. It's a progressive condition, and they will progress into consequences in all cases.
Jesus.
And those consequences will be on relationships, work or school, finance, health, and legal problems.
Holy crap, just $300 a week of your parents' money. Are you kidding? I couldn't be into coke. I couldn't be into shake. I couldn't be in. My parents didn't have enough money for me to be in the stems and seeds.
My parents think it'd be $3, much less
$300. Christian?
Yeah.
You're 19. What's up?
Hey, Adam, Drew, love you guys. Listening to you on the buzz. Love the show.
Great.
What's up?
Hey, a couple things. One, Mary called in earlier, whose husband's in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm in the Navy as well, and if she's listening right now, what she needs to do in order to find out if there's any help available for her, because she really needs to get some, is to talk to have her husband talk to his command master chief and see if something can be arranged or if there's anything available, or to go to the command ombudsman. Usually the ship will, or whatever his command is, will have the number, and she can get in touch with them and see if they can work something out as far as help goes.
Right.
But the Command Master Chief's the big one.
Talk about a title.
Command Master Chief.
Chief Ombudsman?
No, Command Master Chief.
Yeah.
It's like redundant. It's like super duper boss man Superman.
That's what my wife calls me.
Chief Command.
Command Master Chief.
I mean, how do you argue with that title? Jesus, it's worth getting into. I'm sure the Command Master Chief makes $900 a month, but it's still worth it just for that title. He shouldn't even pay it.
It sounds like an action hero.
Listen, in lieu of
Command Master Chief,
do you want the Command Master Chief title or payment? It's because it's one or the other. You can't turn around both. Yes, well, there is a windbreaker. Yeah.
There's actually, quite a few Master Chiefs, but there's one Command Master Chief. It's like the alpha and omega of all the Master Chiefs of the
Jesus.
Command.
Jesus.
That Navy sounds like a cult now.
Yeah.
Anyways, Dr.
I'm listening to you, Master Chief.
Christian.
I have kind of a problem. What's new? When I was 15, I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Took Buspirone for about 6 months. Didn't like the side effects, but everybody was saying, hey, you're doing a lot better, so I just kind of dropped it. Enlisted in the Navy, went 10 months, and lately I've been gaining a lot of it back. You know, irritability, arguing with those who are close to me, you know, the kind of the desire to be isolated. I went in and talked to a psychologist, and I've been pretty much diagnosed with it, re-diagnosed, rather. I was wondering if there is a direct correlation between having GAD and premature ejaculation during sex.
I have never read any description of that, but I've been suspicious that that's the case. And I think it comes from the fact, well, you and I were talking about this last night.
Yeah.
That people...
In the bathroom.
Yes.
Not on the air.
As we left the bathroom. Generalized anxiety disorder tend to have higher what's called sympathetic tone, the part of the autonomic or automatic nervous system that causes the acceleration of your system, the heart rate to go up, your muscle tone to go up, those sorts of things. And that people that really have that sort of accelerator going all the time, I think, might be sort of prone towards prematurity. Yeah. That's my suspicion.
Okay.
Yeah. That's like you, Drew, right?
That's me.
Passionate people.
All right. Thanks a lot. Oh, and Mr. Stack, loved you on Nightstand.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care there, Christian. All right. Command Master Chief.
I want that title.
Yeah. it's not a bad one.
My kids would flip me off if I told them I was the Command Master Chief.
Angie?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Yes.
What's up?
I have a question, I guess, for Drew.
Mm-hmm.
My 7-year-old daughter has been lately complaining, saying little things like, my dad doesn't care about me. I had it, and this is to her friends. I have a daddy that doesn't care about me. And I was just wondering if your opinion was, for therapy on
where,
that.
Where is her
or,
dad?
He lives in town somewhere. I haven't had
right. That, this is a huge deal for a girl.
Right.
Huge deal. Did your dad do the same thing to you?
Well, my parents were separated when I was 12.
Did your dad do the same thing to you?
No.
Well, your dad stayed in your life.
He didn't abandon you.
Oh, no, he's not in my life at all.
So okay. Your dad did the same thing
well,
to you?
Well, yeah, but she was 12 when he cut out.
Totally different.
Not 7.
Well, no, it's a little different.
Better.
But the point is, your dad did the exact same thing to you.
Right.
And how did that feel?
Really, it doesn't really bother me because I hate him anyway.
I understand. Yet you found yourself a guy to do the same thing that your dad did.
I guess I did.
Yeah. And if you don't want this to happen to your dad or worse, get her some help.
It's too late.
No, they can.
She's
got to
do this.
No, they can be treated.
Yeah, she should do it. Come on, it's like a family business.
Do you think it would be a good idea for me to try to find him and maybe
drag his drunk ass back to force him to have a relationship with a daughter he's not interested in?
Right, no.
Well,
no.
Does he know he has a daughter?
Yes. Yeah, he pays child support and everything.
He just no interest. Yeah, he's probably got a couple other kids somewhere else.
No telling.
Yeah,
you have no idea? Just a check comes in once a month?
No, every week.
Every week a check comes in?
Yeah.
Where's it sent from?
It comes through child support enforcement.
So they've went looking for him, or
yeah,
I guess so.
They're garnishing his wages,
yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
By the way, no worse term than garnish wage. Garnish sounds like you're gonna get a little orange wedge by the side of your check. Instead, they take out 80% of it. You know, garnish is a horrible, horrible name. If somebody just asked me, just sort of
very misleading.
Would you like your wage garnish?
No, can
sure.
I have?
No. Go ahead and garnish it. Yeah, sure. Take. Yeah, that sounds good. Count me in. All right, Angie.
Yeah.
You don't have any other kids, do you?
No.
And what about a new man?
No, not really.
No, not really.
Uh-uh.
Okay, good. I like that. That means you're not screwing your daughter up with some new jackass you thought would make a good husband. What are you doing? How are you supporting yourself?
Oh, I work.
Oh, you do?
What do I do? I'm a quality control inspector.
Really? Like a meat packing facility?
No, in furniture.
Furniture?
Yes.
Well, what do you do? Like somebody sat on this chair, we got to send it back? Or?
No, I check for color, defects, dents. Scratches,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
All right.
North Carolina is where all furniture is manufactured.
Is it?
Yeah.
And, hey, do you have your own inspection sticker that you put on, like on the underpants?
No. I don't have a number.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, I see that mainly on my underpants.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an Inspector 472. And I'm always think, let's just suppose I have a problem with the underpants. What do? Go gunning for 472? Like, I come bursting into the Hanes factory in Georgia.
Give me 472.
Chip on my shoulder.
I'm the master command chief.
I'm the master command chief. Yeah. I fire off like a warning shot over my head. Everyone hits the dirt. There's 472 listening to the Walkman. Falsely putting her number on some tainted panties.
Mm-hmm.
I burst in there. I don't even... What is that? Is it that's just a sort of BS to give us a sense of assurance, or
I can't imagine it's for the consumer. It's hard to imagine.
But it's for us to think that something's going on.
It's the same people who gave you the mattress tag.
Yeah, but at least that says something on it. This just says some old
inspected
broad.
Inspected by 472.
Yeah, I'd like the guy's name on it at least. I knew what. But give me his home number. Just saying, like. Maybe I just want to chat about skid marks. I want to know, like, should I wash this in cold?
If you bought a pair of underwear that came with skid marks,
yeah.
Who's that inspector? You got a right to be mad.
Yeah. Well, you figure I got a break on it. I buy them in a chub pack, so you figure one's going to happen. Well, let's take ourselves a little break. Tim Stack, looking good. Guest tonight. Son of the beach. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number. Oh, forget about that phone number. Timmy Stack, our guest tonight. Son of the Beach.
Yeah.
FX, 10 o'clock on Tuesday night. And then on the 18th, the big premiere with the Penetration Island, 1 hour long, starring yours truly. Which, by the way, hold on. Now, I want to add that to my list. I'd like to bring that back.
Starring yours truly.
Yours truly. Yeah, that seemed to have gone the way of the dodo. The
mm-hmm.
Yours truly, and I want to bring back It Takes All Kinds.
I want to bring back putting words at the beginning of phone numbers.
Oh,
that's 619 3454.
I can remember my first phone number. Fillmore 8.
What is that? 347.
Yeah. I always used that. My dad had his cousins like lived out in Santa Monica. And I'd always say to him, I want to give, I got to give Vince and Pat a call. What's their number? He's like, X-Mark 6. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
Right.
I don't know what the hell that means. And he didn't know what it meant either, apparently. He knew what the...
This is how they would memorize them with those numbers, those first two
right.
numbers. And what were the guys thinking?
Name, their number out on the air, but...
And what were they thinking?
I don't know how any of that worked. And
how
did
they get that set up?
I told my dad to explain that to me, like how that worked, and he got about three syllables into it, and then smoke started coming out of his ears.
I think it was, if I remember correctly, I took a class once on status, and I think a lot of it was done... For example, if you lived in New York and had a Murray Hill phone number,
right.
that was a big deal.
There's a status thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
To have a Murray Hill, like Murray Hill 9, 4421.
Wow.
Yeah, they do it.
Crazy.
Our audience has just turned us off.
Yeah,
right
they
now.
Have no idea what we're talking about. I barely remember it. All right, anyway, Takes All Kinds, Murray Hill 9.
To the tune
yours
of.
Yours truly, and to the tune of when you're talking about money.
Right.
Yeah. Sarah, let's even work that into an episode of Son of the Beach. Sarah?
Hello?
You're 21?
Hi, yeah.
What's up?
First off, I heard To the Tune Of on the Fox News station.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Someone's listening.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. I have a question for you. We're studying for a psych test, and we wanted to know the difference between atypical psychotic drugs and typical psychotic drugs.
Well, atypical just means not...
You don't mean
different, right?
Do you mean atypical? It means you mean drugs for atypical psychoses?
That's probably what she means.
Drugs for atypical psychoses?
Or do you mean the sort of the?
Which one of them?
Zyprexa.
Zyprexa. Zyprexa. Okay. Zyprexa.
But I want to know the difference from that.
Zyprexa and Risperidone are the newer antipsychotic medication as opposed to the old, what we used to be called major tranquilizers, right? Are you there?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So you want to know the difference between these new medications and the major tranquilizers?
Yeah. Well, we asked the teacher and he said he knew, but he wouldn't tell us.
Yeah. Junior college. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
I am certainly not expert in the antipsychotic medication. The older ones used to really be very sedating and prominently affecting the dopaminergic system. The newer ones each has novel mechanisms, if I remember right, and I'm not real familiar what they specifically are.
Did you know that Americans spend I'm trying to work this out.
So, well, let me finish with that.
They spend an amazing amount of money on these drugs each year to the tune of...
And there's others that have antipsychotic, anti-agitation features like Seroquel. So Seroquel, Risperidone, Zyprexa, these are all the newer medicines. And I think each one has a different mechanism of action.
All right, so where are you chicks going? You're in junior college.
Yeah.
You're young. You're attractive, yes? Attractive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right, just get married.
Okay.
Don't waste your time.
God.
You're wasting everyone's time at that junior college.
We have another question, though.
Go ahead.
What happens if you mix cocaine and lithium?
I've seen people do that, and I've not seen any specific problems happen. What is it? You're reading about something that might happen?
No, they got the weekends coming up.
You're thinking about doing it?
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday.
I wasn't personally.
All right, well, the problem is if you're on lithium, it suggests you have a bipolar, mood stability problem, and cocaine can make that a lot worse. So it's not so much the combining of the drugs, although, both can be tough on the kidneys. It's the fact that you have a mood disturbance that will be significantly affected by cocaine.
Tough on the kidneys, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Requires small vessels for rich blood supply. So brain, kidney, and heart. Because cocaine, one of the things it does in your system is it constricts blood vessels, arteries, very tightly.
Mm-hmm.
It restricts blood supply and the cells die.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Bryn Hartman's concoction. But she might have been Zoloft.
What happened to her?
Cocaine.
Is that
cocaine and this really heavy antidepressant. I think she had some booze in her system, too.
Yeah, I can't even picture her. I can't. Right. She went nuts and killed Phil. Yeah, yeah, all right. Yeah. Man, did they ever really get to the bottom of that?
That was addiction. Stimulant addicts do that kind of thing. That's what they do.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. And the kids and all that kind of stuff. Did you know him or
them? Oh, yeah. Good friend.
You must have, because you were in the Groundlings, right?
Good friend.
I mean, you guys go way back, right?
Yep.
He seemed like a very nice guy.
Very nice guy. Unbelievably funny. And unbelievably funny at the Groundlings. I mean, you saw him on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It wasn't like you saw him at the Groundlings. He was like 20 miles beyond that, how funny he was.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that was just a bona fide talent.
Yeah.
And, I remember getting out of sketch comedy because I thought, listen, you're no Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm funnier now.
Yeah, well.
But just marginal still, even from the grave.
Right.
We're like neck and neck. I think if we both did like a 10-minute set, at the Ice House or something, I'd still have to work a little blue.
Melody?
At the last.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
I have a question for you. I grew up in a religious home, a really religious home, and I'm a virgin, and I'm 21.
Mm-hmm.
And probably for maybe the last 3 weeks, I've been getting these urges for masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been happening a lot, but because of my background, after I just feel so guilty and kind of dirty after, and
why?
Because it's religious.
What did they teach her that was wrong with that?
That it's wrong.
Why?
You should be saving yourself, and
they don't talk about masturbation, do
sure
they?
Sure, they do. Yeah.
For women? Where? For girls?
For anyone.
Where do they talk about it?
We learned about it when I was growing up in youth group.
Jeez, I could beat off to that. Just that discussion on not masturbating, I think, would prompt a good beat session. Really, in youth group, they tell you, and how do they do it? They must use some euphemism, you know?
Just that,
touching yourself? Or
it's a natural pleasure, and you should be waiting, to pleasure yourself before, you get married and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That you're putting, that before God and
that
it becomes like it's a sin because you're putting, you know.
Here's what happens when you contain primitive drives. You know what I mean? You try to suppress them as they come out.
They come out weird. Yeah. Listen, if you try to stop anything from coming out of you, it screws yourself up. I mean, if you start to vomit, you put your hand in front of your mouth, it's going to blow out your ears. And if you start to sneeze and you grab your nose at the last second, you blow your eyeball out. And it's that way with me and gas. I mean, sorry, Drew, but that's why.
I didn't know that.
No, you ever go on a date or something? You're in a movie or something? You haven't farted in, 4 hours? You go out in the parking lot, you know, like a 14-stepper go on the way to the car. I mean, I'm convinced you could damage yourself. Jimmy feels the same way, by the way. He hasn't said it, but I know it just works.
Just by his behavior, sure.
Yeah.
But Melody, it's hard to understand. I mean, that's why, like, somebody who was, you know, prone to sexually be attracted to males would try to suppress that, and all of a sudden, boom, out of comes, you got a problem.
No, it's a lesson. This religion is just one big mess. It's just a mess. Please.
There's nothing wrong with you doing this. In fact, it's a good thing in terms of you learning about yourself.
Go ahead and masturbate. You're fine. Right, you're still a virgin.
Yeah.
You're masturbating. It's a way to keep you a virgin, all right?
Okay.
That's God's plan.
That's a better priority.
That's the way God
does
it.
That's something you have value in. And what the
hell? All right?
All right.
All right, you got your virginity. You're still way ahead of the curve, all right?
Right.
All right. I'll see you in hell.
Bye-bye.
See you then. I'm going to take a little... Oh, my God, this religion. No wonder everyone just turns into nut jobs. You got to get up on some bell tower with a hunting rifle and just start going insane at a certain point. Everyone's all angry and pent up and weird and screaming at each other and thumping on the Bible and molesting everyone around them. Of course, it comes out in some weird mutated form when you take people's natural urges and you try to sort of stuff it back up them.
No!
Jimmy Stack, looking good, everybody. We're going to take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back. All right. That's the show. I want to give some thanks and some more plugs. I want to thank Tim Stack for coming in here, Son of the Beach.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, Tim. 10 o'clock.
It's only been 5 years.
It's only been 5 years. So I'll see you in another 5.
Drew, please, 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 when I'm giving the plug,
all right,
make a jump in. 10 o'clock, Tuesday nights, everybody, FM.
So okay,
go ahead.
Okay. Come back sooner.
See you in 5 years.
There you go. All right, I want to thank producer Ann for doing a bang-up job and really earning her money all week and all year long. I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones and the coffee and the water, and Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for doing a great job with the phones, and Lauren for doing a great job with telling me about how much weight she's losing and explaining to her where she can buy a jump rope. Engineer Ken for stepping in for Engineer Anderson and doing a great job tonight. And, of course, Engineer Anderson for stepping in for himself for the last 4 days. So, until next time.
Appreciate it. He's doing it.
This is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.